So by now, most people have heard the huge news that YouTube is removing the ability to see how many dislikes a video gets. This is by far the most massive change to the YouTube ecosystem in years, and it's a topic everyone who watches YouTube should think more about because of its implications on the future of new media. I want to talk about a different perspective that I've seen so far now that some time has passed since this change. So if you haven't heard about the change, here's how it works. Almost everybody knows. YouTube disabled the ability for people to see how many dislikes a video gets. The creator of the video can still see it if you go into this like esoteric place on YouTube, but no one else sees it. So the first time this was announced, the community understandably disliked this change, right? And we can see that by this video here at the time. Now you can't see how many it had, but at the time had 130,000 dislikes. So why did YouTube do this? Like, is this some big corporate move? Is this better for advertisers or brands? We'll figure out the truth of this whole thing here that I hope you'll join me for. So the first thing that I did when I heard about this change is I looked in, out to some like commentators and comment threads that you'll mostly hear about this like take about how this change was friendly to corporations. I feel like every single time that there is any kind of announcement as to like why YouTube or Twitch or any kind of new media platform does something, well, it helps the brands, it helps the corporations, okay? And like let's listen.
The YouTube dislike, this is like my abridged opinion, is that the YouTube dislike system, them removing dislikes is just, it gives, it makes it more friendly towards corporations pushing propaganda and not being able to be criticized for it by the audience.
So these are takes that I hear all the time when things come up. Okay, like here's another one, like it's like a comment that had 26,000 upvotes. This isn't about protecting creators. This is about protecting corporations and media companies. Every single time that there's any kind of change to one of these platforms, this talking point comes up. Like, it's beneficial to brands and corporations. I really don't like this take because I think it leaves us defenseless. There's no real way to, like, attack these, like, shadow Illuminati corporations or anything. We just can kind of complain that everything is being moved towards being more brand-friendly and that these changes are happening because of it. I want to tell you what I think the real reason for this change is and why and what I think we can actually do about it once we understand that reason. Because I don't think that YouTube made this change because brands asked for it. Because they thought internally that corporations would benefit from it. I think the reason for it is actually way more nefarious, and we're going to get into that now. So there's this perception on the outside that like large companies make decisions to benefit advertisers or agencies or big brands. Every time a company like YouTube or Twitch makes a change, people immediately yell about this like big bad corporation behind everything and the shadow structure that controls the internet or the country or the world, okay? Well, I'm on the agency side, right? I run a company called Nova, which is an agency that represents these brands. We deal with these kind of brands all the time. We deal with multi-million dollar deals from these brands all the time. We talk to the people that are supposedly behind these weird shadowy changes, right? I also talk to YouTube, and I also talk to Twitch. And so I have some really unique insight into this that I can share with you. And my company is the one that spends advertising dollars that large brands give us. We've done work for Coca-Cola, Hershey's, Amazon, and so on. And so we've built these like big custom creative campaigns for these companies, and they give us the budget to do it. And we also work with dozens of agencies that also talk to these guys and do the same thing. I'm going to tell you right now that brands don't actually care about things like negative press, mostly. Some of the older ones do. So some of your like Fortune 500 companies where the executives are a lot older, they care about negative press. And certainly if there's a lot of negative press that's attributed to one brand, they'll care about that. But I'm talking like, not like the dislikes on a video. I'm talking about like what Activision is going through right now as of the time of this recording, right? That's an example of something that brands care about where they'll say, okay, like our entire brand is under attack by the internet as a whole. You get one video with a bunch of dislikes. Like brands don't generally care about that. And I'm going to tell you why, right? Because that kind of sounds kind of unintuitive, but I'll explain it. So the vast majority of brands, right? We get our notepad out here. The vast majority of brands care about total exposure. Total exposure, positive or negative, right? And that is because the YouTube algorithm for the longest time has weighed likes and dislikes practically the same. But in addition to that, pretty much all marketing studies show that total exposure always eclipses public opinion. So you may have a negative impression of a brand, but what matters is that you have an impression of a brand. And in fact, there's been a ton of marketing studies that show that if you have a negative impression of something, it stays in your mind much more. How many more times have you remembered something that's happened as negative to you than something that's happened as positive? The human mind has a negativity bias. So if I can get you to respond in some way negatively to something that I advertise, I'm going to be much more effective in capturing your attention. And you'll, over time, you'll forget that negative impression, but you'll remember the brand subconsciously. And again, there's just, there's study after study after research. All marketing experts can tell you that that the number of impressions that you make on somebody is what matters. It's not the negative or positive. So the brand just cares that you're engaging. The fact that you looked at the video and pressed the dislike button is a win compared to a view, and it's a huge win just compared to looking at the thumbnail and deciding not to click on it. So they can get you to click through and then engage with the video. That's what the brand cares about. And when we're designing engagement campaigns at the agency, we're looking at when brands come to us for reporting, which is something we have to do after every single thing that we do, every single campaign that we run, we've got to report how the brand did, okay? And like what metrics that we use to give them an idea of the success or failure of a campaign. Want to guess what number one is? It's not if it was positive or negative. That's not even number 10. In fact, I can't remember a single time, even where we've had a lot of campaigns, not a lot of campaigns, I don't want to say, but we've had campaigns that have been negatively received, right? Never has a brand approached us and said, oh yeah, like we really care. Like let us know how many dislikes we got. That's never, ever been a thing. But what is a thing is engagement. How much engagement did we get? How many impressions? How many click-throughs? How many likes? How many dislikes? What happened from the context of what was the total engagement and reach of this so that we can give this to our marketing execs and we can show them what we're doing? How much did we get out there? Like, what exposure did we get? And as far as the negative press thing goes, you can see this in practice in the gaming industry. Like, don't take my word for it. Look at EA. Okay, look at recently Activision, where despite massive public outcry, quarter three revenues for Activision and subscriptions are increasing in most of the verticals that matter. And the CEO of Activision basically said, hey, like, yeah, I don't care. We're just gonna keep going. And I think that the public outcry will eventually lead to Activision making these kind of decisions because it is affecting investing. I mean, there's something that is as egregious as what Activision is going through right now. But in the answer of like EA, you know, like they've continuously released like half-built games or things that have upset the general public, but are increasing their sales. Call of Duty regularly eclipses its revenue every single year, right? This is not a situation where in the gaming industry we have examples, a lot of examples of negativity affecting game sales. In fact, it's pretty much the opposite. it usually drives more people to it. So whenever a large company makes a change, like the dislike system, all the comments of like point to big YouTube or big corporate, oh, it's just helping the brands, et cetera, all that, right? But this always drives me crazy because companies don't think like that. Because a company isn't one thing. When we refer to YouTube, right, we're not referring to like YouTube is this mother brain AI that just like a distributed autonomous organization that makes decisions. No, YouTube is comprised of people. It's not a thing, right? It's a group of people that are set up into teams. It's a group of thinking, feeling people that work at YouTube, right? And do you think that people that work at YouTube are like, let's benefit the corporations. Let's put a major amount of money behind the brands. Like, is that like the language that Silicon Valley uses? Like, no, nobody at YouTube talks like that because nobody at YouTube thinks like that. YouTube and Google, by extension, right? A massive portion of their business is advertising and they want to deliver ads that people buy to the right customers, but they don't want to benefit corporations in some shadow Illuminati way. They're just like you and I that work there. They want to do stuff they believe in. And I can just tell you from meeting, this is anecdotal, but just like working with dozens of agencies and people within these companies, like they typically aren't people that want to work with like big brand corporations running everything. And their compensation models don't reward them for making decisions that benefit big brands. They don't make more money as a result of like getting brands in front of advertisers. That's not really the way that their revenue structure works, right? So if you're like an individual getting paid XYZ salary per year and you have goals, even if you're in the advertising place, like, getting big brands to have more friendly engagement with people on YouTube, I doubt is the KPI of any of the marketing executives at YouTube, right? Like maybe one, maybe the guy that directly makes brand partnerships or the girl, right? But the vast majority of people at YouTube just don't care about this, right? So YouTube didn't remove the dislike button to appease brands, because it doesn't really benefit brands. And because the weight of the dislike and like button was the same. Brands were already getting what they wanted off of YouTube. They were getting exposure. So if YouTube didn't remove the dislike button to benefit big corporations, why did they remove it? Well, the reason is actually a lot more concerning, I think. And I'm going to share that reason with you right now. But first, okay, I want to do a couple of really quick shout outs because you're here. You're now at the 10-minute part of the video, which is a short by Devin Nash Stearns. Hi, I'm Devin. I'm a marketing executive over at Novo, an agency, and I make content. Thank you so much. And subscribe to the channel if you really like what we do here. I do tons of stuff about new media and commentary like this. But also I have a Patreon, patreon.com/DevinNash, where I post like, we're up at like 30 or 40 videos right now on just like stuff that's more specific to business, like marketing details, or like how to run successful businesses, or how to be a successful content creator. A lot of topics like that there. Check it out, patreon.com/DevinNash. And there's also a discussion community at discord.gg/Devin. You can join. So thank you for checking this out. And okay, without further ado, that's all the shout outs I have. I just want to tell you exactly why YouTube removed the dislike button, I think, and why it is so scary. Okay. What if, right? YouTube removed the dislike button. What if I could spell? YouTube removed the dislike button for exactly the reason they said they did. And what if that was as scary as all? Well, let's listen to what they said.
Or not. But unfortunately, research teams at YouTube have found there's this whole other use for disliking a video that I had never experienced as a creator, and you may not have either. Apparently, groups of viewers are targeting a video's dislike button to drive up the count, turning it into something like a game with a visible scoreboard. And it's usually just because they don't like the creator or what they stand for.
Imagine not liking a creator, so you dislike the video. Sorry.
That's a big problem when half of YouTube's mission is to give everyone a voice.
I want to just play that again. Listen to what he just said.
That's a big problem when half of YouTube's mission is to give everyone a voice. So
what's going on there, right? Let's go back to my comment on companies. Remember how I said the groups of people within companies are set up as teams? Groups of people form a company, right? In teams. The conversations people are having within YouTube aren't about how to benefit big brands or to bring the company more money. That might seem surprising, but the company already makes a shitload more money, right? YouTube's revenue nearly doubled to $7 billion as digital ad spend rebounds in 2021. Nobody's having a problem making money at YouTube. Nobody's having a problem making money at Google, okay? These aren't the individual KPIs of the people in Silicon Valley or the people that are running YouTube. The conversations people are having in Silicon Valley, I think, are a little bit more disturbing. And I think the culture there isn't about how to benefit big brands. It's about inclusiveness. It's about safety. It's about protecting creators. It's about protecting people. That is the conversation everywhere, and that's the thesis of this video. If you want to know why YouTube is doing this, you don't have to go far. Just listen to what they're actually saying.
Teams internally who have learned the hard way what it feels like to get lots of dislikes. Now, this again is about protecting all creators and making sure they have a chance to succeed and feel safe in doing so.
That's what they're saying. What they're saying is what they actually believe. Okay, imagine it, right? It's not some secret shadow conspiracy. It's worse. They actually believe, unironically, that they are supporting creators and protecting people from this change. They're afraid of people feeling bad, okay? This is far more concerning than the other reason, right? Because remember when I, like, this is the conversation. Remember when I told you that nobody in these companies talks about benefiting big brands? Like, this is what the companies are talking about. They're talking about these safe spaces or people not feeling ostracized. YouTube thinks it's doing this to protect creators. They don't want creators to feel bad. And this is way more concerning than any of the big corporate talk, because we see this problem happening across our whole society. Conflict and confrontation are being reduced just because it makes people feel bad. I see this happening all the time with comedy. Something always offends someone, or someone isn't comfortable with something, and then we're phasing out confrontation from our world. And the price of that is a repressed and passive-aggressive society and diluted, foggy relationships and pleasantries where no one takes the time to be real with each other. And if you look at YouTube, as we've now been a little bit away from the dislike change, that's what's happened to the happening to the platform. I can't get a good idea of what videos are good or not. I don't have an idea of a video is not going to be worth my time, or it's a scam, or it's just a waste. It's a waste, right? Like, YouTube has been this way now for a few weeks, and with the dislike button views gone, this is exactly the experience I've had with the platform. The experience is confusing. It's foggy. The platform doesn't feel real with us. And in browsing videos, it doesn't feel like I have the community's support in understanding whether it's bad or good. So it's lowered my experience of watching YouTube overall. It's harder to tell what's authentic and what's not. So you need to know this, because people need to stop blaming big corporations for every problem. That's not actionable. We can't hold anybody accountable to that. We can't hold YouTube accountable to that because YouTube isn't a thing. It's a group of people. The shadow Illuminati lizard people can't be identified. And even if they could, we probably can't impact anything they do because they're bazillionaires. But what we can do is we can have a conversation around how inclusive we should be and if protecting people in each case is worth the price it brings with it. In the case of YouTube, removing the amount of dislikes was not worth the price. It might make a few small creators feel safer or better, the same small creators that would have benefited, by the way, from a more transparent community or feedback around their content when they couldn't hide it away on an analytics page. Because small creators, one of the things that they do is they put themselves in a niche where they can't hear that their videos are bad. So instead of them actually getting the feedback that their videos are bad, they will now just fade into obscurity, never knowing it. And it might stop a few targeted attacks of videos like they say here for sure, right? But the price of that overall is not worth paying. It's the price is a worse platform. And the quality of videos we consume will be far more muddled. So to close this out, I want to give you a quote from a great movie. The movie's called Kingdom of Heaven. And it's referring to a king who, a person really, who has the option to become a king. He has the option to become a king. But the way he'd have to do it is to kill another person who's in line for the kingship. And that person is a really bad king. He's going to be a terrible king who's going to lead thousands and thousands of people to die. And eventually, he's told, he doesn't accept the kingship. And he's told a great quote, I think. And that's a quote I would apply to YouTube in this case. There will be a day when you wish you had done a little evil to do a greater good. There will be a day when you wish you had done a little evil to do a greater good. And I think that is the situation that YouTube finds itself in. I wish that YouTube had done a little bit of evil. Sure, hurt a few creators because they get a couple of dislikes on their videos, or maybe there's these individualized attack campaigns that sometimes happen where in a few instances, right, obviously not the majority of cases, people get these dislike campaigns against their videos. Overall, though, to do a far greater good, to make a more transparent and authentic platform. So start the conversation around what the topic is actually about. YouTube actually thinks it's protecting people. YouTube thinks that it is on the righteous side of history here. And they're gonna ignore all your comments about being a big company that defends all of because they're defending creators. Like as long as they can stand behind that they're defending creators, like then they don't care how much you talk to them about how they're benefiting big brands, because that's not their narrative, right? Attack them where they actually think that they're helping people, which is in this idea of protecting these creators. Because if we can actually have that conversation about whether to what extent we ought do that, I think we can actually move towards hopefully reverting this change, or at least making a more transparent platform than we're getting now. Okay, so that's my whole talk on this, and I hope this sort of kind of changes your mindset and changes the way that you approach these conversations as we try to make this a better place to create content. Thanks for watching, and I hope you subscribe, like the video, or at the very least just keep up this conversation in other places and keep the dialogue going. Thanks, everybody. Till next time.